Anti-immune, immune, anti-immune, immune. This is Dr. Herbert O. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Anti-immune, immune, anti-immune, immune. Now, we have constantly been surrounding ourselves with the ideas of needing to have an anti-immune system. Now, why would anyone ever want an anti-immune system? It would seem to me an anti-immune system would be an immune system that would be anti to its own immunity. Now, why are we immune to anything? What does it mean to be immune? Well, to be immune means that we are not touched by something. To be immune means that something does not affect us. Now, as I walk around the path in the morning here at the meditation center, I'm walking the 3-mile path and up and downhill, and the sun is just coming up, and the sun is kissing everything. The sun is kissing the flowers, and they're opening their buds before me. The sun is kissing the leaves, and they're unfurling before me. The sun is kissing the mosquitoes and saying, wake up time, and kissing the flies and the bugs and the gnats and the lizards and all creatures great and small. The sun is kissing it and saying, get up and let's have a ball. And what happens? They wake up, and then they fly all around. And they see a warm-looking body, and so they fly around that warm-looking body. And they say, maybe there's something here to eat. And all I do is surround myself with my pure white light of love. That's my immune system. Now, my anti-immune system, I'm not against being immune. That is my immune system. Now I don't say all bugs will go where they belong. All bugs will not touch me. I'm immune to all bugs. I'm immune to all creatures. I'm immune to all critters. I'm immune to everything. You see, I'm not immune to it. What am I immune to? I'm not immune to having these creatures go away. I'm not immune to having them not want me. I don't taste good, you know. I am immune. And what does it mean? What does immune mean?
Untouched.
Huh?
Untouched.
Ah, here's another field coming in here. Untouchable. Now, what does untouchable mean? If flies have no interest in your body, you're untouchable, aren't you? Okay? Now, if naughty thoughts and naughty words like being sick and being angry have no place in your body and your life and your mind, then you're untouchable, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You're immune. You're immune to them. Now, what makes you immune to bugs and to disease and to unhappiness? What makes you immune to anything that is not desirable? You don't give it any attention. But, hey, the bugs are there. That's right. That's exactly right. I'm walking that path, and that big old sun up there is just kissing everything and saying, wake up, guys, it's time to get going. And me too. And they do not come and bother me. They do not come and concern me. I'm immune. You understand? No. If there's a disease around, am I going to get it? If there's unhappiness around, am I going to get it? If there's anger around, am I going to get it? You see, I am totally immune. Immune might also be thought of as my pure white light of love. Now, why do you say white? What's wrong with black light or brown light or pink light or blue light? White just happens to be a phrase that fits the color light. It means purity. Well, what about white people and black people? There are no white people and there are no black people. That's all our attitude. I go to Nigeria and I am in hundreds and hundreds, thousands of black people. and I'm walking around, I do not think of myself as white or black. I only think of myself as a people, and they are a people. And I think of myself as a happy people, and they are happy people. And, oh, there's some of the kids who come up and say, hey, Whitey, hey, stuff like that. And I say, who are you talking about? You, mister, you're Whitey. And I say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means that your skin is a different color than ours. And I say, well, that's nice. Hey, kid, come here. And the kid comes over to me. And I said, give me five. He puts up his hand to show, look at the palm of your hand, that's white. You just got a good tan. Man, I mean, if I were living in the sunshine country, I would get a good tan too all the time. And you just got a good tan. Hey, you're lucky. Yeah, but what about the Asians? They got different color skin. What about the Indians? They're reddish skin. What about the Indiana from India? The Indians from India, they have a different color skin too. And what about the Russians? You know, they're pure white. Yeah, you know why they're pure white?
No sun?
They don't get out in the sun. And do you know why you're so brown? You have an abundance of sun. Oh yeah, you can burn, you can get a sunburn because your skin is normally ordinary. Now, you want to have brown skin or blue skin or black skin or pink skin or purple skin or what kind of skin do you want to have? Or white? Doesn't make any difference. But hey, look at the palm of your hand. Now, lift up your arm. Oh, look at that. Now, look at the bottom of your feet. Now, open up your toes. My goodness, you know, everything goes. So, it's fantastic. And then they say, oh, well, hi, I got a good tan. Oh, you sure do. I respect you, and I think, gee, I'd love a good tan like that. Maybe not totally dark like yours, but you know, a good tan. And maybe, if I were living here in Nigeria, I might even like a very dark tan. Because a very dark tan means I come from this very fine family. Because my heritage, everybody in my heritage has a very dark skin. And this guy, that's my friend over here, his family has lighter skin, lighter colored skin. Well, does that make them good or bad? No. Is he smarter or dumber than you are? No. You like him? Yeah. Is he your friend? Yeah. Are you his friend? Yeah. How can he have friends with you and you're so black? Well, we never think about it. Well, that's the best way to do it. Never think about it. Just go around the world and see everyone with your love. Your pure white
light of
love. And what happens when you look at everyone with your pure white light of love? Wholeness. Perfection, harmony, peace. Now, Anita, she has the kookiest mother in the world. I mean, her mother is so strange that she could have a contest for strange mothers and win, you know. Now, her mother comes up to Anita as a little girl and says, oh, sweetheart, go lay down in your bed. And Anita says, why? Well, I see you're coming down with something, and I want you to go and give it back. Well, in bed? Sure. You lay down your bed now, and you sleep overnight, and when you wake up in the morning, it will have gone away again. Because it was just stopping by to see if somebody wanted to have it come for a visit here. But Mom, my tummy hurts and this hurts. Now, Anita, you just lay down, and you take this glass of honey milk here, and a nice warm glass, and you go to sleep. And when you wake up, you'll feel just wonderful. Well, Anita says, all right, all right. And so she lays down, goes to sleep. In the morning, her mother says, breakfast. And Anita jumps out of bed before anybody else because she's hungry. And she forgets all about the fact that the day before she wasn't feeling good. Her mother gave her a pill. Her mother gave her a mental pill. A mental pill that, hey, nothing to it. It'll go. It's not... It doesn't belong to you. Let it go. It's not part of your life. Let it go. And so she lets it go. Now, our bodies are a manufacturing plant designed by the GOD manufacturer. And the GOD manufacturer is very specialty manufacturing. It manufactures only one thing. You got it, huh? Yes. It manufactures only one thing, perfection. It does not know how to manufacture anything but perfection. And it manufactures completeness. It manufactures completeness. Now, another thing that the GOD manufacturing company manufactures, it manufactures vehicles that do not need any
fuel
or water or air or anything. You don't need it. You're born inside. You're just a little thing and you're growing. Oh, it's true, you are being fed through the umbilical cord. But the thing is, when you burst out of your egg, when you burst out of your shell there, what kind of thing are you? You're just a little life force. Now, do you have within you the ability to manufacture all the vitamins and minerals and all the things necessary for your body to grow? Your body's growing fast. Your body is growing very fast. When you consider yourself as coming aboard anywhere from 6 to 8 pounds and leaving, how much do you weigh? Or I guess that's what you weigh when you pop out. But coming aboard at so many ounces or so many quarter ounces or 16th of an ounce, you know, and then growing up into 8 pounds and then popping out as an 8-pound bouncing baby boy or girl, nice, huh? Now, if parents could learn how Anita's mother does her job. Anita's mother just says, "Sweetheart, you lay down, take a nap now. You'll feel better when you get up." But she knows that Anita has to have some recuperation time. Recuperating from thinking she's not feeling good to thinking she's feeling good. So she gets her into her recuperation mode. In our bodies, if our bodies could be taught that they have the regeneration mode, recuperation mode, then all the manufacturers, and science will tell you this, all the manufacturers within our body put there by the GOD manufacturing company, all the manufacturing items which manufacture vitamins and minerals and anything else the body needs are there. They're right there inside, doing a perfect job. So, now, if you're going to put in vitamins and minerals from the outside that the inside doesn't need, at first the inside is just going to piss it out and shit it out, and what it doesn't need, which is all of it, it's just going to dump. Because it manufactures, the body is a very generous object. It always manufactures more than you need. It manufactures more of anything than you need. And so you start giving it vitamins and minerals and other things, and then it decides, hey, I don't have to do that anymore. And those manufacturing plants, the little internal GOD manufacturing plants, they go out of business. They retire early. And they stop doing it. So then all the rest of your life, you have to feed vitamins and minerals into your body to do it. Now, the inner manufacturing plant also produces fluid. It produces fluid, and it also produces the air, should any be needed, you know, and fluid should any be needed. And it's always dumping off the excess fluid. Now, in your body is made up of 99% fluid, they say. They have different numbers that they use, but I use whatever I want to use. I could say 100% fluid, and the rest, it's all air. Well, how can you have anything more than 100%? Well, because in today's figures, we can have 200% and 300%. And how much return do you get on your value on your investment? You get 200% return. Hey, that's pretty cool, you know. And how much you get back? Oh, I get 1%, 2%. My goodness, what sort of spectrum are you dealing with? Well, same thing goes on in the body. It has its own imaginary percental basis, and we play the game with it. Now, so, we are teaching our children that they need these things, that they need the air, they need the water, they need the vitamins, they need the minerals, they need the food. And as we teach them that, then they need that. And as they need that, then the productive aspects in their body that manufacture those things cease to manufacture. Insulin is one point. When the body is given insulin from the outside, the inside stops producing it. Even the little bit that it might be producing, that it might be a lack of the necessary amounts. Now, what can we do? What can we do? We live in a world in which we are created 100, well, let's say 1,000,000%. Isn't that nice? 1,000,000%? 100% immune. We are immune to everything outside of ourselves. And we are the creators of everything. Everywhere we look, whatever we look at, we have created that. Every person looks at us, they have created us in their image, in their likeness. All the world is our creation. And if all the world is our creation, then perhaps it behooves us and demands of us that we get busy to create something very wonderful. Now, what are you going to create? What are you going to create in your world? The GOD Manufacturing Company gave you the ideal object. They didn't give you just a body. They gave you a body with a mind. They gave you the ideal body, the ideal mind, the ideal spirit. They gave you the ideal operating system. Now, you understand very readily that you can go down to your corner computer store and buy a little old computer. Just a little old computer for a few dollars. Even a used one. But you can buy a little old computer for a few bucks. And you buy that computer and you know everything. But you say you don't. So you look at that computer and you say, what can it do? And the storekeeper says, oh, this is a very good buy. It will add, subtract, multiply, divide. It'll do all the calculation figures that you would want to do. It has an infinite memory. It has 7 dictionaries in it. Dictionaries! It has 4 sets of encyclopedias in it. And it has online encyclopedias that will research for you in other areas where you might not be able to find it. It has the ability to correct your letters and make them sound intelligent. It has the ability to listen to your voice and then translate your voice into words. It has the ability to take words and translate the words into a voice so that you can hear it. It has the ability to play an infinite amount number of pieces of music, you know, maybe 1,000 pieces of music, because the hard drive that it has is maybe 40, 60, 80 gigabytes or bigger. And it has the ability to do all that stuff. But that's touching just the teensy-weensy surface of what it can do. You haven't even begun to understand how magical and marvelous that computer is, what it can do. Well, now, you know what happened? Some guy created that computer from his mind. He created that computer. Now, what did he do? He created that computer out of his mind, and he was only using what? A teensy-weensy little bit of his mind. Because tomorrow, the next day, people will come up with even more and more wonderful things about the computers that we never dreamed of. The computers will be Wi-Fi, wireless, and in the air, and you will be able to pick them up with your brain, because they will tune the computers to whatever your brain wave length is. Now you say, well, how do you know you got that? Well, look, everybody's fingerprint is different. How marvelous. Everyone's iris is different. How marvelous. Well, now, they'll find that you have your Wi-Fi link up here, that you have your link in your brain, you have your antenna, that tuned just to your number, just to your code. And you will be able to tune in to the universal knowledge and wisdom and everything, and you'll be able to think whatever thought you want, and your computer, by accessing this, will do it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's a secret. A secret that nobody else in the whole world knows this. And this is just for you now. Anybody else listening? No. Now, this is just for you guys. Now, remember this. Everyone who attends the University of Healing, everyone who listens to the lectures of the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited, the University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, the Worldwide Healing Ministry, everyone who listens has a glimmer that they have access to omniscience, all knowledge. They have access to omnipotence, all power. They have access to omnipresence, all awareness, everywhere present. Nobody else in the whole world. Just the Unigang. Now, and it's true. And what is this omni? Schnell?
All.
What is it?
The mind.
The mind. Not the brain, but the mind. And where is the mind?
Omni.
Uber alles. The mind is over everything. The mind is the universal. And this is what the computer geniuses are cluing into to do the little magic that they do. And this is what we already know. And we draw upon this universal mind by doing what Jesus told everybody, but nobody listened. Nobody listened. What did he say? I know that I know
that I know
the divine in me, the universal mind in me, the allness in me, the isness that I am knows. Now, I have told you this 100 times, 1,000,000 times. I told you this many, many times, but you haven't listened. You listened maybe, but you thought, oh, wouldn't that be nice? And that's true. Wouldn't it be nice? But the moment you clue into that, you won't need an antenna. You won't need to have a fingerprint. You won't need to have an iris print. You won't need to have a unique identification. And you see, that's another thing you learn. You don't need to be a unique being. Because the moment, and this is not very nice, the moment you are aware that you are the allness, what happens to you? You're not unique anymore. You're not Beatrice Enns anymore. You're the allness. You're the isness. Oh, you can play the game of being Beatrice Enns if you want. But that grows old real soon. Can you imagine a child or a student learning to play the piano and playing Ode to Joy? Sing it, please.
Oh, la 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 la.
Okay, now. Again and again and again and again. And again, and again, and again. La 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 la. Every music teacher guitar, piano, or whatever, teaches their student the Ode to Joy, because it is a simple movement of the fingers across the keys or the strings to bring about what you want. Now, it's simple. Now, you learn it. Darn, I could. I can play Ode to Joy. And you're so proud of yourself. You tuned in to one. Now, just imagine if you could tune into the orchestra playing some great cantata. Or maybe you tune into the universal orchestra of the spheres. And only those who are divinely illumined can hear it. Or maybe you are the universal orchestra playing the magic that you do. And everywhere you choose to look, maybe you choose to look on earth, and you see the world. Do you see it as a storm, or do you see it as a symphony flowing harmoniously, everyone playing their musical notes and pieces in a perfect harmony? Now, you see, just because you're the allness, the isness, just because you have no uniqueness to you any longer, doesn't mean you don't have fun. It doesn't mean you don't go out and delight in seeing everyone harmonious, all your thoughts. Delight in seeing every tree grow as it's divinely designed to grow. Delight to be the owner and producer and so forth of the GOD manufacturing company. Can you imagine that? Would you like to be the GOD manufacturing company? You are. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun knowledgeably to be the GOD manufacturing company? Lowercase, GOD. Pretty nice, huh? The God manufacturing company. But that's what you are. And that's what I am. That's what all the world is. But we pretend that we're playing games. And that's okay. We play our chess. We play our boy, our girl, our man, our woman, our father, our mother, our aunt or uncle or grandpa or grandma and stuff like that. We play all those roles. And they're just roles that we play. How would you like to be the grandma who looked at your grandchildren from the perspective of the God Manufacturing Company, the GOD Manufacturing Company, and you look at your grandchildren and you say, I see you revealing your absolute purity, perfection, and goodness. Not saying what it is, because, you know, they want to have their fun. But they do it perfectly. Now, would that bother them? Would that hinder them in any way? Would that be opposed? Would you be monkeying with their immune system in any way? Not at all. You know, you all like to prattle the idea that you are religious and that you are God-fearing people and that you are God-loving people and stuff like that. And then stories are told to you and you laugh. Isn't that silly? Moses told the Red Sea to open up so he could take his people through. Why not? And Moses took the people 40 days and 40 nights through the desert. Why did he do that? 40 years. Why did he do that? So they could die out. And so the new generations could come in, taught just by him. He didn't do a very good job, but taught just by him. But he taught them what he knew. And when they didn't have food, and they were in the desert, what did he do? Bitte?
Manna.
He gave them... what from heaven?
Manna.
What did heaven give it?
Manna.
Don't be intimidated. He gave him manna. Manna means a universal substance. Now, were they hungry when they ate it?
No.
Were they full when they ate it? Yes, they were happy. Did they want more? Whatever he gave them was adequate for them. And whenever it was time to eat again, he gave them more. Or maybe he fed them once with manna from heaven until it was time to do other things. Now, where did they get their water? same way, maybe. Maybe they didn't need it. And you say, oh, come on now. That's just the things we're talking about. Just the things we're talking about. Yeah. Now, why would people choose to live in arid desert areas? When you take them somewhere else and you show them a different type of circumstance to live under, different type of environment, they want to go back to where they were raised. Why do they do that?
Because they liked it there.
Because they were living with whatever they were living, and they were living happy, fulfilled lives. And when they went to somewhere else, they had to learn a whole new system. When they lived in the desert, they provided for themselves. When they went to the city, they had to get a job so that other people could provide for them, so they could go to the market and buy their foods. You know? Interesting. Now, we won't dwell on that too long, but you see, that's the way the story goes. And that's the way our immunity goes. Our immunity is natural within us. We are immune to anything that we don't like, and we are immune to anything that we do like, but we don't think we can have. So we are immune to it. We don't get it. Now, how do you want to run your life? Do you want to make a switcheroo right now and be divine and live in your ideal G-O-D manufactured body? And do you want to have a recall on your G-O-D manufactured body to go back to your original purity and integrity? To have the original purity and integrity tweaked in your body? You know what it means to tweak? When a musician tweaks his instrument, he's bringing it into perfect tone, bringing it to perfect pitch. Interesting, huh? Well, think on these things. They're kind of fun to think about. We've just opened the door to this subject. And if you like, we'll cover it some more. But the choice has to be yours. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.